Hello. So I hope you enjoy the small break. If there are people in the back, you can still, there are still a lot of seats available. So let's start. So my name is Frédéric Rosa. Oops, I noticed I forgot to put my name on the slide. So who of you attended this talk last year at OpenSUSE conference? A few people, a few hands. Okay, so this is going to be an ongoing talk, I hope, every year at OpenSUSE conference to see how we are, where we are with OpenSUSE and SLE, how we cooperate and how we bridge the gap between OpenSUSE and SLE. So I call this talk the Return of the GNOME Part 2, because I'm French, also known as The Revenge. We'll see for the title for next year. So, in the previous episode last year, we talked about mistakes that were made when we worked on SLE 12. I will use the GNOME environment as the ongoing example, but then I will expand a bit further. So for SLE 12, if you remember, so we used GNOME 3.10.3, and we forked it. So we used a version which was in factory back then, and we did a lot of work on it. We did bug fixing, due to bug reports from our beta tester. We developed new feature, for instance, the SLE Classic mode in GNOME Shell. And all of that, we never backported those features to OpenSUSE Factory. And why we did that? Because we didn't have time. There was a lot of work for the development team at SUSE just to bug fix and develop the feature. We were transitioning from GNOME 2 in SLE 11 to GNOME 3, and there was little time to do to push everything that was done at that time to the version in Tumbleweed, in Factory. Even worse, at that time, Factory was already one major version beyond the version we had in SLE 12. So Factory was already at 3.12, and SLE 12 was at 3.10. So we said, okay, we'll do that later. We'll do that for the next service pack. Then SLE 12 service pack 1 came out. So people had time to do bug fixing. Why? Because SLE 12 SP1, as usually, when we do a major core stream, the first service pack is a consolidation release. We fix a lot of bugs which were found and could not be fixed in the GA release. And people were so busy that they didn't push their work on Factory. So the history repeated again. And we said, we'll do it later. But last year we discussed about, okay, we need to fill this gap. We need to reimburse our technical debt, as some people say. So we wanted to make sure that the SLE 12 GNOME was in sync with the OpenSUSE GNOME. And our ultimate goal was to maybe share the same source RPM between SLE 12 SP2 and OpenSUSE LEAP 42.2 for the GNOME desktop. We were kind of there for beta 1, but not everything was there. So, did we succeed? Did we reach the goal? We did. We did. Oh, I see Dominic is not entirely in agreement with that. We had three 100 packages to sync. There was a lot of discussion between the SUSE desktop team and the OpenSUSE GNOME team. We did some internal tools to help tracking the differences between packages. So OBS and IBS are very useful for that. But we needed a way to present that to developers so they can easily spot, oh, I have these packages which is not in sync between the two code streams. We also had some patches which were only enabled in Service Pack 2, so not on Leap. And funnily, sometimes after Leap 42.2 was released, there were some bug reports on, oh, this doesn't work on Leap, but it works on SLE 12 SP2. We are supposed to share the same source packages. And we discovered that, oh, that's because there is a patch which is in both source RPM, but it's only applied on the SLE variant because, yes, it seems to be something only enterprise customers reach. And in the end, no, it was needed on both code streams. So even if we didn't push everything and enable all the changes in Leap, it still benefited both code stream. It was a difficult road. Bumpy, a lot of holes on the road, but still. So we had to first do the integration, so the merge internally. So we, for those of you who don't work at SUSE, we had a clone of the OBS, which is we call the internal build service. And there we have the same equivalent of development projects and stuff like that. So we set up a development project for the desktop. And we made sure to use the same rules as those which are used on the OpenSUSE GNOME team. So no direct commit on a development project using only submit requests, not auto accepting your own submit request, making sure that somebody else is reviewing the change you did, all that on the development project, and then only then accept things and then submit it to SLE 12 SP2. We had also some horror stories. Ludwig mentioned it earlier today about changelog integration. We have some rules on SLE that when you update a package between a service pack, you should never, ever, ever, ever lose a bug report number in the changelog or lose a fate number or lose a CVE number. Why is that? Because just to make sure that, oh, we are upgrading a package with a new version of something, and then by mistake, you lose a feature which was developed as a patch, or you use a bug fix which was specific to one customer, which was maybe never pushed back to factory. And then it's very important for us to be able to track that we never regress in terms of bug reports, feature, and security fix. And to be able to merge between the OpenSUSE factory on one side and the SLE code base on the other side, we had to come in agreement. Even if some fixes were never pushed to factory, the OpenSUSE GNOME team and then later the OpenSUSE factory review team accepted that we can push bug fixes which were at one point in the past merged back upstream, but we still push in the changelog very early in the changelog. So we insert somewhere in the changelog some entries to say at some point in time a bug fix was done, and then a bit later it was merged back. So we have the bug number somewhere in the package history, and we can be sure that yes, it was, we didn't regress somewhere. But just to reach this point, was a bit painful internally and with the OpenSUSE community, but we managed it. And we still have one pain point, mostly for the Leap people. It's when there is a package in Leap which has a bug or which needs some kind of updates, but which is inherited by from SLE code base. There, you cannot just submit something from OBS and expect it to be updated automatically on Leap. You have to make sure that somebody at SUSE is going to take care of this patch, push it on our internal build service at SUSE, make it pass the quality assurance for maintenance internally for the Sleep product, and only when it's accepted, it's going to be pushed back on Leap. So it's still a bit rough. Often people in the community have to find somebody internally at SUSE to poke them and ask them, oh, can you please push this patch in, even if it doesn't affect a customer at SUSE, but only OpenSUSE users. But in the end, everybody's win, because sometimes OpenSUSE people, OpenSUSE users adjust way earlier than customer, and sometimes they find bugs before the SUSE customer find or report them. So it's still good that we integrate fixes which are submitted by the community. So I talked about SLE 12 SP2. That was last year. But since then, let's talk about what's coming next. What's coming for SLE 12 SP3? For SP3, we have enforced, so Ludwig already a bit mentioned it, but I will go a bit more into details. Starting with SP3, we have a policy internally which we call factory first. This has caused a lot of discussion and debates and some complaints, let's be honest. What we ask with those guidelines is to make sure that when it's possible, development done for SLE 12 SP3 is done on OBS. And by saying on OBS means it's done for factory. And then when it's in factory, it then submits it back to SLE 12 SP3. So it's not always the case. It's depending on bug fixes, if it's a bug fix, if it's a feature. If it's to implement a feature, you need to backport a package, a new, complete new package, back to SLE 12 SP3. But still, that's the spirit. We want to be sure that we don't come up with exactly the mistake we did. I explained earlier with GNOME during SLE 12 SP0, meaning, oh, we'll do that later. Because we know that we'll do that later may come back, haunted you several months, several years ago. I probably already shared this story last year, but I will repeat it again. When we worked on SLE 12 SP0, we had some people checking if all patches from previous code base were still applying. And we went back and found a package which was from SLE 9, which was always applying a patch for SLE 9, SLE 10, SLE 11, and potentially SLE 12, where the patch was never pushed to factory, which means that somebody has done the work four times because he never submitted the patch to factory, and the patch was cleanly applying to factory. So by not pushing bug fixes or feature to factory, basically people will make more work for them or their colleague or whoever will maintain package in the future. So it's creating a huge, again, technical debt or whatever you want to call it. And we really want to fill this gap and avoid it as much as possible. So I say that as when it's possible, we try to ask people to do development on OBS. And when somebody sends some submit request to the internal build service for Service Pack 3, we have a bot called the Leaper bot, Ludwig mentioned it, which is going to automatically check if this submit request is also present in OBS. So in the either in factory, then woohoo, it's fine. We don't have to do anything. Or if it's submitted, in factory, it's not yet accepted, but it's submitted, or if it's just submitted on the devel project, or if it's not submitted anywhere. So basically we have a package, we have a submission, and we have something completely different on OBS. And based on that, the bot will either sometime decline the request, or add all the time it will add some comments to give some information to the developer about this potential divergence in the code stream. I was about to say in the force, sorry. And this is very helpful. This is a tool which the release manager can override. So sometimes we accept to diverge because something cannot be fully in sync for Sli 12, but still it's very useful. On the funny note, don't repeat to anybody working at SUSE. Okay. We get sometimes a reply from people to this bot and people explain why they are diverging. Also, if we would have asked them in person or by mail, sometimes people are less eager to share such changes, but because it's a bot, they feel that they need to, oh yes, this is a stupid bot, so I really have to explain it to why you should do it or why I'm doing that. That's a good thing of having a bot doing reviews sometimes. People don't feel attacked as much as when it's a human which is responding. And yes, also one thing which is very cool is since we have reached the beta cycle in Sli 12, SP3, every time we accept a package in the SP3, in the minutes following that, you get the same package and the submission is visible on OBS. So basically you can track what's happening on Sli 12 SP3 live once the beta cycle has started. So that's nice. I did some number digging on the packages on Sli 12 on one side and Leap to give you some hints. So to give you an idea of how huge Service Pack 3 is or will be, we currently have 342 source packages. So the way Sli 12 is built is we have Sli 12 GA, and then on top of that we have modified some packages for Service Pack 1, and on top of Service Pack 1 we have some packages which are modified. So the thing to keep in mind is that for SP3 currently we have 342 packages which are different compared to Service Pack 2. Service Pack 2 we had 1,010 source packages different from Service Pack 1. Why is that? It's because Service Pack 2 was what we call a refresh release. We updated the kernel, we updated the graphics stack, we updated the desktop, and a lot of other things. So the number of packages we changed compared to Service Pack 1 was huge. Compared to that, Service Pack 1 was only 550 source packages, so that's roughly same number as what we can expect for Service Pack 3, which we call a consolidation release. and SLEET12 GA, 3,000 Rosli source packages. But coming back to SP3, because we have some more granularity on those numbers, thanks to the LeaperBot, we know from those 342 packages, 107 are factory packages. So one third of the changes in SP3 is coming from factory directly. This is the same package, same source packages. Sometimes maybe some fixes might only be applied for SLE, but still. It means that the development for SP3, one third of the development was done and pushed directly to factory and merged back and merged in factory, which is great. The two third remaining, that they are what we call forked, but it doesn't mean we are completely diverging. Usually we have asked developers to make sure they push the same change in factory, but sometimes we cannot upgrade if the version in factory is more recent than the version in service factory and we don't want to upgrade the version in SP3, then we just make sure that the same change is done on both SP3 and factory. But one third, that's nice. So putting back that into a nice graph, SP1, so I removed SP0 because it's not relevant, but SP1, 500 packages, SP2, 1,000, SP3, at the moment, 300. We are progressing. Then some numbers about LEAP. So I will switch directly because it's awful to the graph. LEAP, I did some analysis based on the data available on OBS. So for 42.1, we had about 900, I think, packages. Oh, a bit less than that. 1,500 packages coming from SLEET12, and the rest was from factory, mostly. For LEAP 42.2, it's visible. The number of packages coming from SLE increased by roughly 300 or bit 400 packages, which is roughly the number of packages we have in the GNOME desktop. So here you can see that the work which was done by the desktop teams at SUSE is visible on LEAP, at least part of it is visible there. And there is also factory, the number of packages coming from factory decreased a lot. Why is that? Because a lot of packages in 42.2 was inherited from 42.1, which is what we expect from LEAP. LEAP is a distribution where we don't update everything. It's not tumbleweed. So you can see that almost half of the LEAP packages in 42.2 are the same packages from 42.1, either the GA packages or the update packages. And currently, so I've looked at the number, it was on Wednesday, for 42.3, you can see that SLEET12 packages are roughly the same. It's increasing a bit. The number of packages from factory, decrease a bit. Why? Because we have now more packages. So the packages which are the same in SLEET12 SP3 and in factory are counted here in the factory bucket. And then you can see that a lot of packages are coming from LEAP. So 42.1, 42.2. So again, we are refreshing a bit in 42.3, but not much. So it means that we are able, we really are able now to provide to the community a good basis to do a stable distribution for OpenSUSE, and which is nice. So now I'm opening. I have a bit of time, not too much, for questions. Just to explain again that all that I said about the rules, the factory, first policy, and etc. We don't set everything in stone. We are flexible, and we are discussing with everybody. So if people say yes, something doesn't work, or how can we improve the processes, we are always open to that, and we are welcoming your feedback. So questions, comments, you can throw stones, tomatoes, whatever, geckos.
You mentioned that we cannot do certain updates in the public build server instance, but only do it internally first. What's the reason for that? Couldn't we do everything? Couldn't we have a strict rule? If it's not in factory, it doesn't happen?
So, could you repeat the beginning of your sentence, because the audio feedback is not great?
So you mentioned that we couldn't do certain updates which are for customers or something in the public build service instance first, but do them internally. What's the reason for this? Couldn't we do a strict rule, enforce a strict rule which says everything needs to be public first and then...
So the rule is everything is public first. But there are some exceptions. The exceptions are, for instance, until we reach the beta cycle, we have sometimes NDA with partners. So we cannot share publicly work which is done until the NDA has reached out its deadline. Ludwig has already mentioned it. That would be the, usually that's only issue, and it's not that much. Also, we have some legal restrictions because we are a company, also partially based in the US, and we are distributing things in the US. There are some regulations regarding cryptography. We have to do some paperwork, and until we reach beta, we have not done the paperwork, so we are not allowed to publish everything outside. So that's something that a company has to make sure we follow the rules, the legal rules, and sometimes community can be a bit more flexible. But again, the rule is we do in the open accept, and we really try to avoid the exceptions. 1 minute, otherwise Torsten will throw me out of the stage. No? Thank you very much.